We're encouraged to see so many gathered this evening to hear the Word of God and also a little report of what God has been doing in the land of Venezuela. I would take the opportunity at this time to thank the Lord's people, every one of you, for your exercise and prayer concerning us and concerning the work in Venezuela, and for your kind remembrance of us in a practical way during the years. We thank you most sincerely in the Lord's name, and we know that the Lord is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love and the manner in which you have ministered to the saints at home and abroad and do minister. I would like to read some verses of the Word of God with you, and we'll turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 9. And we'll commence our reading and verse number 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, and we'll read a few verses also in chapter 10. Verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempted in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Chapter 10 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Now that's all we read, and God will bless to us the reading of his good word. We thank God for giving to us the Holy Scriptures and these lovely letters that Paul was guided by the Holy Spirit to write. And undoubtedly, most in the meeting will see that this letter is linked up with the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 18, where we see that the Apostle Paul, having had some exercise, entered Corinth to the glad tidings of the gospel. When he reached that place, it gave him, I'm sure, much joy to meet a godly couple called Priscilla and Aquila, whose names appear in the Word of God in the New Testament scriptures no less, I believe, than 6 times. And so they were tent makers. They were of the same craft. And evidently, Paul found lodgings, under the roof of their home. And together, I'm sure they would work by day, and the apostle had an exercise to reach the souls of men. And on the Sabbath day, he was found there in the synagogue where the Jews evidently met together to hear the word of God, to hear the reading of the law. And you will note undoubtedly that where there was a synagogue, evidently God was pleased to prepare the hearts of men and women by the reading of the Holy Scriptures, so that when the gospel arrived there, well, the good seed had already been sown. Although it may be possible that those who read the Scriptures may have been unsaved persons. But because some of us can remember well when unsaved men, religious leaders, read the Scriptures in our hearing. But ah, dear brethren and sisters, the Word of God was getting into our hearts. And later, why the Holy Spirit took up the Holy Scriptures and enlightened us to the fact that we were sinners and to the fact that we needed Christ. And if we died in our sins, where we would be? In hell. And I tell you, when that got hold upon us, we trembled to die. Like Murray McShane, wasn't it? We can say, when free grace awoke me by light from on high, legal fears shook me, I trembled to die. I wonder tonight, has that been your experience? Well, I would not say for one moment that all have had the same experience, but as nevertheless, it's very, very necessary that every soul be awakened to understand exactly what they are before God, and also what awaits them should they die without Christ. God has made it very, very clear in His Word that there's a heaven above and there's a hell beneath, and it's up to us during the little time that we're left here in this world to understand the whereabouts for eternity and prepare to meet God. We find here in the Scriptures, well, it pleased God to do a wonderful work of grace in Corinth. Ah, after some time, we read that many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. And so that was a great thing. Many of the Corinthians, hearing, they believed, and were baptized. That's the order of things. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that is exactly what we have in Ephesians chapter 1, where the apostle refers to having heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and having believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Upon believing, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so every child of God is marked off for heaven. The Holy Spirit has taken His abode in our hearts. As according to Romans chapter 5, the moment that we believed, the love of God was shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. And so it's a great thing when there's evidences of that divine life in those who profess. We're living in days when it's a popular thing to have a profession. But oh, it's so sad to see. Well, there's something lacking in a number of lives. There's not the evidences that we should see in the lives of those who profess to be saved. But we thank God for every true believer. And it's our desire to help and encourage everyone that has divine life in their soul and that manifests it in an outward way. Now, we find here that the apostle, he wrote this letter to the Corinthians to correct certain things amongst them. And it's very humiliating to see just exactly what did exist among them. He commences with evidently the most serious thing that affected the Corinthians. It was division. And dear brethren and sisters, remember, it's our responsibility, by the grace of God, to earnestly contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. But we should give diligence, according to Ephesians chapter 4, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Remember, a word could affect it, and a hard look could affect it, and there are many things that could grieve the Holy Spirit of God. But we are responsible, every one of us who are saved, and in the assembly fellowship, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He here speaks of the race in chapter 9. Oh, the Christian race. The Christian race. Where did we commence? We commenced at Calvary. We commenced by accepting the Lord Jesus as our own and personal Savior. Don't we love to sing, oh happy day that fixed my choice? On thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures. All abroad, oh happy day. Ah, yes, we thank God that for the joy that filled our souls on that occasion, and for the joy that has filled our souls from that time until now. Ah, yes, we have experienced indeed that which the Lord Jesus spoke about in John chapter 7, that from receiving the living water, oh, there's a well, there's a fountain, there's that which springs up within us, and we rejoice in the goodness of God. Oh, we would say to anyone that's not saved in the meeting, oh, test and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Now, we find here the apostle. He speaks indeed, well, of the great necessity of keeping our body under. Oh, keeping our body self-controlled. Control of the eyes. Control of the tongue. Control of the ears. Control of these members. In fact, in Romans chapter 6, does he speak that we, before we were saved, we used to yield our members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But now that we're saved, what is our responsibility? Ah, to yield and to use the members of our body as instruments of unto righteousness, to the glory of God. And surely it's our responsibility according to Romans chapter 8. Ah, yes. He says, well, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's a great thing to be constrained by the love of Christ, and indeed to give your law. And remember, when God said this, that was our desire. It's quite possible, using the language of Jeremiah as he writes to the lamentation, that the gold has become dim in many a Christian life. Oh, I wonder how it is with us tonight. Are we fervent in spirit serving the Lord? Are we as bright as we used to be? Are we as happy as we used to be? Are we reading the Word of God the way we should be? And even the way we used to read it. Oh, when the God saved us, you know, the Word of God was so precious to us. We could have said like Jeremiah, my words were found and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. And you know, especially whenever some of us were saved amongst the denominations, I received the most Episcopalians. And as I read the Word of God, as it was brought to my notice, that I should be baptized. Oh, I searched the Scriptures, certainly. There it is, clear and plain. The Lord commanded it, and it was practiced indeed by the early believers. And so, why, the Word of God became a new book to me whenever I gathered to the precious name and person of the Lord Jesus. I heard that the brethren had chapter and verse to support all that they practiced. But I see some people practicing things that the Word of God wouldn't permit you to practice. Oh, dear brethren and sister, let us take heed to the Word of God and walk in obedience to it. And don't we sing in that lovely hymn, to walk with the Lord, if we desire to enjoy His presence, it must be by trusting and obeying. Oh, trusting in the Lord and obeying His precious Word, obedience. Why, obedience to the Word of God brings great joy and blessing. We find here that the apostle, having referred to the race, the Christian race, and the possibility of being a castaway, in verse number, the last verse, he goes on to speak about Israel's experience. As it were, the Israel's red, where they commence. You will note here that they, in chapter 10 and verse 1, it corresponds to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. What about chapter 12? Think where we have the Passover. Why, it's brought before us in chapter 5 of this epistle. And he says, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the peace. Oh, Christ our Passover. We thank God for all who are sheltered by the blood. It's the blood that saves. the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And it's the blood that enables us indeed to maintain sweet and happy fellowship with our God. What would we do without the throne of grace? Ah, we thank God for the throne of grace, so we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But these people who were saved indeed and were brought out of the land of Egypt, chapter 12, God undertook to lead them and guide them from that very moment until they reached the day, until they reached the land of Canaan. Oh, to think of those years and to think of all the way he led them. Why, he led them on swiftly so that the feared not. A faithful God day by day by the cloudy pillar and by night with a pillar of fire. He never left them for a moment. He guided them continually. And so, dear brethren and sisters, why, the Holy Spirit of God within us is also our guide and teacher, and we have the Holy Scriptures too. The Israelite was ever to have his ear, aye, attentive to hearing the silver trumpet, according to chapter 9 of the book of Numbers. Why, the priest would sound the silver trumpet whenever they were about to march. And also, they would note that the cloudy pillar would also move in the direction that God desired it to go. May the Lord help us to be more conscious of his leading and guiding. What having brought them out? Why, he led them and he guided them by day and by night. And also, he supplied their needs. Why, when they needed water, there he brought water out of the flinty rock. He brought water, and he supplied their need so far as water was concerned, and also manna by day. Manna. Oh, they had to get up early in the morning, and of course to look for the manna. I wonder, how is it with us, dear brothers and sisters? Have we that desire to read the Word of God? Can we go out to business without reading the Word of God? I don't believe that you should. You should get up early enough for to read the Word of God or even carry your testament as some of us did in our early years and when we had to go out high and in the town car or in the bus to take out our New Testament and read and read and continue to read. And the Word of God was written upon our hearts. And we thank God that we indeed gave ourselves to reading the Word of God in those early days. The Word of God went into our hearts. We were pleasuring it up. And you know, whenever you treasure up the Word of God in your heart, and then it comes to a time whenever perhaps you'll be invited to preach the gospel. Well, the Holy Spirit is able to cause you to reflect and to think of those scriptures that you treasured up in your heart. And he, well, this has been my experience upon I was exercised to preach the gospel some years ago, before I thought of going to Venezuela. And the word of days were going by, and Lord's Day was coming on, and I thought, well, here I am, and it's getting near Lord's Day, and I haven't a message. Because we believe that should give exercise. It's not a matter of getting a sermon. No, no, no. Oh, I won't get up sermons. Why, plenty of them, but they can be very dry, you know. I heard a dear brother say one time that, sermons need to be born again to be any use. And I believe that. They need to be brought home to us again in freshness and in power to our souls. And you know, brothers and sisters, when I thought then one day of the peace, the peace with God, that led me to think, well, according to Ephesians chapter 2, peace was made. Oh, it led me to think of another scripture. There in Isaiah, there is no peace saith my God to the wicked. And that's where we start. No peace. The way of peace they had not known, Romans chapter 3. And then, meditating upon the line, I thought, oh, peace was made by the blood of his cross. Peace was made. Ephesians chapter 2. And peace in Colossians chapter 1, 2. And then peace was preached in Ephesians chapter 2. Peace was preached to you that are far off. And then peace was obtained. Romans chapter 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, peace of faith, and then peace and joy. Peace and joy. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, it's a great thing to Philippians chapter 4, the peace of God Let the peace of God see garrison your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And I really say that to encourage the young brethren and sisters too to give themselves over to reading the Word of God and to store it in. And the Holy Spirit of God will direct you as to the drawing out. Well, we find here that these people, they come out well, and they were baptized too. My, look at them. Baptized in the flood and in the sea. Ah, that was a good thing to be baptized. And we can thank God for every baptized believer who have recognized that they are dead to the world. Dead to the world. We don't believe in baptizing people just in a hurry down in Venezuela. People who profess to be saved and no sign of no change in their life. Oh, no, no, we'd never think of baptizing people like that. We want to see evidences that they have died to the world. Died to the world. By their dress, by their appearance, all the rest of it. Ah, I tell you, old things, have they passed away or have they not? And there's evidence that, well, there's a change in the life, then we baptize them. And, of course, they're received by and by into assembly fellowship. Here are people who were baptized, but you know what's said about them? With many of them, God was not well pleased. With many of them, many of them were overthrown in the wilderness. Oh, I tell you, it's a sad, sad reading. Many of them. And dear brethren and sisters in Christ, young especially, it's a great thing to be in assembly fellowship. But remember, it's a great responsibility. You're either a help to the assembly, or you're a hindrance in the assembly. If you're living in fellowship with God day by day, and enjoying the Word of God, and bearing a bright testimony for the Lord, you're a blessing in the assembly. But if you're living a careless life, and you're becoming conformed to the world, and there's no change in your life, oh, you're a burden in the assembly. A burden in the assembly. A hindrance indeed. How can we expect, indeed, God to answer our prayers if we, indeed, don't give heed to His word? Will He give heed to our word and our request? I sometimes think of it. We have every right, indeed, to expect to be reasonable. Indeed, and expect God to bless, that He will bless, and He has promised to bless, according to John chapter 15, I believe, if we are obedient to His pleasure with many of them. God was not well pleased, and they were overthrown. Oh, I wonder what happened to them. I wonder. Well, I was thinking, and just I would mention a few things, and it's the field. They became discontent with God's center. We see that in Exodus chapter 32. Oh, why? When Moses was up there in the mount, absent from them, and his brother Aaron, who evidently seemed to be a man who lacked backbone. There's Christians, you know, and they can stand with others very, very well, but to stand alone and to take their stand for God, evidently they have no backbone. Oh, may God help us to have backbone, dear brethren and sisters. Don't we sing, and haven't we sung in years gone by, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Oh, dare to make their purpose known. Aye, and to honor the Lord, take your stand for God. Tell them, seek grace to say yes when it's necessary, and to say no. It's a very interesting study, indeed, in the Word of God, to note men and women who have the grace and the courage to say yes at the proper time, and to say no at the proper time. There's Joseph in the land of Egypt, and when he was tempted by an evil woman, he could say no. How can I do the great sin, this, and sin against God? Oh, may God help us, and especially the young in Christ. What we find here, well, the discontent of the center. There's Aaron, and the mother came to him and said, this man Moses, what has become of him? And make us a calf, and want to see something visible, as a God who brought us out of the land of Egypt. Instead of saying to his brother, who was left in charge, according to chapter 20, is it chapter 24, when Moses went up, he left Aaron and Hur in charge. If there's any difficulty, any problem, come and consult these two brethren. But he forgot all about his companion and went off on his own to arrange the matter. And it didn't turn out good. So a good thing to have fellowship with your brethren and to do what's right and in fellowship with them for the glory of God. Two are better than one, the Scripture says. And so we find here, well, today we're discontent with the God center. And then we find here in chapter 12 further on, in the wilderness, we find too that there was discontent with the manna. Oh, this thing they said, well, we're tired of it. Have you got tired of the Word of God? Or is it sweet to you? I tell you, dear brethren, the more you get into the Bible, the more you receive from God, this fresh manna day by day, the more you long for it. The more you long for it, and if you want to be any use for God in the assembly or in the work of the Lord, remember you must read your Bible. Yes, to the apostle I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Aye, that's what we need. Today, ministers have built us up in our most holy faith. And then we find here that they became tired of the manna. Then we find here they became also discontent with the authority. They're in chapter 16 of the book of Numbers. There's Korah and also some of the Benjamites. And they, what are they about? Alert for the cause trouble, discontent for the authority of the assembly. And it's a good thing when God has raised up men to shepherd God's dear people and to seek to help them and to encourage them. Oh, may God help you to make straight paths to your feet, dear brethren, lest that which is lame get turned out of the way. Remember, a great responsibility lies upon a leader. But here, by the way, those who were discontent and rebelled against the authority of the assembly. Oh, may God preserve us from such a thing. God preserve us from such a state. Because we see here what happened. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed those rebellious members of the congregation. And it's a great responsibility to be in fellowship, a great privilege. But a great responsibility, may God help us to know how to behave ourselves, as the apostle wrote through to Timothy, chapter 3, isn't it? That thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. And then we find that the unequal yoke entered also and caused trouble in chapter 25. There's Balaam. What is he about? He has been employed by Balak the king to curse God's people. Is he able to do it? He's not able to do it. And dear brethren and sisters, that has certainly presented certain problems down in Venezuela and other countries too. There are evil workers who work in spiritism and witchcraft and in fellowship with the devil himself and evil spirits, and they would seek to do harm to the people of God. There was one man who worked at that before God saved them. He was a wonderful trophy of the grace of God. And people desired to bring a curse upon some of the Christians. And they consulted Don Modesto Jorge. And of course, he did in his ignorance of the things of the Lord that he tried to carry out the desire of this person. Oh, he says, I cannot. There's a spirit on my door. There's a greater spirit that's hindering me from doing what you desire me to do. And he realized he was up against it. God defended his trial, and he did not permit that evildoer for to carry out his desire. And so, dear brethren and sisters, as we tell the Christians in Venezuela, if we're seeking to do what's right before God, living in the fear of God, walking in obedience to his word, we needn't fear the devil or any other spirit. God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne, as dear brother Mr. Geddes in Africa, surrounded by witchcraft and evil doers, could defy them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the precious blood of Christ and triumph. And so you and I, if we're walking in fellowship with God, we needn't fear any evil. Well, we find here, he couldn't curse them, but nevertheless he could encourage them for to a was a stumbling block. And so those women of Moab and Midian, they went out and tempted the males, the men folk. And so I tell you, they're not all dead yet, such people, who would indeed provoke the other sex. dear sisters, behave yourselves in God's name and seek to dress accordingly, as it becomes you as women, and so that indeed others will not be stumbled or tempted by you and your behavior on the road to heaven. God would have us to be a help one to another, and to be a blessing one to another, and to behave ourselves as those who are saved by the grace of God. Now, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make way to escape, that you may be able to bear. May the Lord bless his good word.
Now, for a little word what work it can be in the land of Venezuela. I must say that from the goodness of God, we were permitted to go to that land almost 40 years ago. From the 40 years in the 11th of February, next year, with my wife and I, and there were two little children. Actually, there's a little boy of about 3 summers, and a little girl that we buried down there 11 months after we arrived in the land of Venezuela. So we set forth, depending on God. It was after some, almost 12 years of exercise that we went forth. I made up my mind that I'll never leave Ireland until I'm perfectly persuaded, convinced that God has called us to serve in that land. And dear brethren and sisters, it's too late whenever you discover that the other side separated miles and miles away. But it's a great thing to make sure before you leave in your own little contact, that God is called. Well, for convince me, from Deuteronomy chapter 1, and there I read, upon my knees, alone with God, Israel. Moses, he said, you came to me, and you desired to go forth to spy the land. And, all the same pleased me well. And, he had to know what took place. God brought them out of the land of Egypt. God showed his hand with them in the wilderness. A little while for a while, and then he brought them to Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea. And there was just a step into the land of Canaan. He said, in this thing, you believe not the Lord. Now he thought it was possible to have a good conversion, and to see evidence of the hand of God with one. After conversion, and to be brought to a point in the Christian life, just like Israel, and if you go forward and into the land, in the field, and I saw where their field, and I saw where I was in danger of the children, I saw the Lord standing, and Lord, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to go. And so, I was known to the younger brother, and they said, Joe, this is something you have been waiting on for years, and we can assure you about the right hand of fellowship. Well, we went forth depending on God, and without any guarantee of salary or anything like that. We had a letter, right, assembly, the devil had part in our going forth, and God tested us. God tested us. But dear brethren, you can say God is in faith. And a fruitful door, supplying all our needs, and an abundance of time, sometimes a matter of splitting a barrel, as in the case where then pushed in you. God is in faithful. And we can rejoice as we look back and think of all the way he has led us. We wouldn't exchange our experience of God's goodness with anyone indeed of another calling. God has been faithful. Well, I loved it to the land of Venezuela. It was there upon our hearts. And as most of you know, Venezuela lies to the north of South America. The extreme north of South America, having the Caribbean Sea, this represents this sea. This is just a sectional part of Venezuela. But 7 of the 20 states marked on this map, the map sectional part of Venezuela. Well, Venezuela has a large country, the 20 states and 2 territories. And Venezuela, has a coastline from Colombia in the west over here in the east to the village Guyana of about 1,700 miles of coastline. It's approximately 800 miles from north to south, and also approximately 900 miles from east to west, As it is neighbors the land of Colombia, and in the east, well, the Guyanas, and down south, the good land of Brazil, with its 120 million souls. And as well, the population is approximately 16.5 million. Some of them are the descendants of the Indians, and they, quite a number, of course, have come from other parts of the world. At a time, Venezuela, and still, as I would say, up to a point, very attractive country, but so many went down there about 40 years ago, well, to make their fortune. And they made a good, a good attempt to do it. But nevertheless, though that was just taking us down there, is the souls of men. Venezuela has as its state religion Catholicism, and of course it makes one sad, as I see so many given over to idolatry, or who have been deceived by a cruel devil. Concerning anything, we think of the words, and do that said of those in Samaria, for a long time they had been deceived, But in that land, where the state religion is Catholicism, God has wrought. And we rejoice as we consider what God has wrought. Preaching the gospel plainly, man's ruin, and God's wondrous remedy in Christ. Waiting for the operation of the Holy Spirit to enlighten the minds and the hearts. We thank God that has had a joy of saving. Many precious souls reached and saved all glory to the Lord. The Lord's a witness here tonight, and he knows what I'm saying, and we'd like indeed, as someone said, we're not here for to tell any lying stories. We're here to announce what God has wrought and in his spirit. There are 92 assemblies gathered to the Lord's precious name in the land of Venezuela. Some small assemblies, with about maybe 30 in them, others 50, others 100, and 150, 200, and some very large assemblies. And we thank God for what he has wrought through the preaching of the gospel. Well, when our dear brethren went down there, some went toward the end of the last century, and their names appear in a book which is entitled, These Men That Have Turned the World Upside Down Have Come Hither Also. And, many went down there, and of course, because of yellow fever and tropical diseases, they were unable to continue. But nevertheless, we thank God for raising up other brethren, and in the year 1910, our good brother Mr. William Williams and Mr. Gordon Johnson from Toronto, they went down to the land of Venezuela. They had the great spirit of me led upon their hearts, and they, it's of interest to read about how the foreign things there at that particular time, in a book entitled, It Can Be Done. That was the first book that was written by Mr. Williams on the working Venezuela, It Can Be Done. And then another was written entitled The Dawn of a New Day in Venezuela. And that also gives further information about how the gospel is triumphed. And yet another has been written by Mr. Sidney Sayward entitled 50 Years in Venezuela. And yet another has been written by Brother Neil Thompson in Spanish. Of course, it is obtainable. If you can read Spanish, you can enjoy something more of what God has been doing in that land. Now, when we went out to that land, we found that it was just after the war. We went down in the land in the month of May, and toward the end of that year, the same year, our good brother Bruce Cummings and his wife, they arrived in the land of Venezuela too. Now, the first job was to, get accustomed to climatic conditions. It's a tropical country. Oh, the heat's terrible, and it's hotter and hotter. That's, I suppose, the best way we can describe. If you want a little respite, you go to the mountains, and you enjoy a bit of coolness. And from San Felipe, where we live here, it's very difficult to see from on this little map. Here's San Felipe, here, the capital of the state of the Yaracuy. Now we've been privileged to live and labor for the Lord in some community here and to see God's good hand with us. We had to get accustomed today to the climate and also learn the language. The language spoken there is Spanish. And they, and then you go and hey, it's a great big riddle, this business of learning another language and, just have patience and seek help from God, and God gives the needed help and grace. It was rather difficult for our wives, missionaries' wives, to go down there, to little families especially, little families, it's not so easy, looking after the children and studying the language, but still, God helped us. And it's a great joy whenever you get a working knowledge of the language, and whenever you're able to add to your vocabulary, and whenever you can speak a little word in the gospel. And but then as well, and Christians, of course, they desire to hear what you have to say relative to the word of God. Well, it's a great joy when one can quote, for instance, John chapter 3 and verse 16. Porque de tal manera amó Dios al mundo. Que ha dado a su hijo unigénito. Para que todo aquel que en él cree no se pierda, mas tenga vida eterna. And of course you make mistakes with articles and pronouns and all the rest of it at first, but that doesn't take you to the thin in the skin, I can assure you, because as your brother Williams, if he was sitting down there and you're opening a meeting for him, he would let you know just where you went wrong. And you huff, you know, and go ahead, take your belt and go right ahead by the grace of God, and God helps you. Well, it's a great day when we can speak freely and make known the glad tidings of the gospel to poor sinners, and also to help God's people with the word of ministry. Now, when we stand to leave, we got to know our beloved Dylan, and of course they introduced us to the Christians in other parts of the Valverico. That was the second assembly that was planted, I believe, there in the Maritori years ago, and also we were privileged to visit these parts. Way over here in Aroa, you've heard of Aroa, that's the mining town, and that's where the copper mines are. Way over toward the east in the good state of Bolivar, called after Simon Bolivar. You know, Simon Bolivar was a great hero who liberated Venezuela and Peru and Bolivia from the Spanish rule. And so that state is called Bolivar. In Bolivar, there are literally mountains, a mountain or two of iron ore. And Venezuela is rich in mineral. Although, and as it's rich in oil, it's not marked on this little map, but away over toward the west, run by Maracaibo. Lake Maracaibo, that's where they have been drawing the petroleum, the oil, or the gas oil that lives from below the lake, now for the most of 40 years. And they talk about the wells are going to be dry in another decade or thereabouts, but still with all, Venezuela has greatly profited its revenue as a result of the oil. I'm sorry to say that at the present time, like many other country that's passing through a time of recession, and of course that affects the Christians too. Now, our desire in going to Venezuela was to follow the steps of good men. And our dear old Mr. Williams and Mr. Gordon Johnson, with our dear brother Mr. Sayward and Mr. Fletcher and Brother Fairfield and Mr. John Wells and Mr. Willie Willows and others, James Gunn too, who labored for the Lord for a time, they desired to put the word of God into the hands of the people. Now realize, if anything's going to be accomplished, it must be by the word of God. And I'm happy to say that those brethren traveled far, great distances. We had the mules in which to travel in those early days, and we had traveled on mules too, and horses, and donkeys too, and the two donkeys laden with their Bibles and New Testaments, and they thought to put the word of God into the hand of the people. Has it yielded fruit? Yes. I tell you, it has yielded fruit. The word of God is quick and powerful, and we can rejoice at the way it has been used in a land like Venezuela. Amongst our Roman Catholics, how they have lifted and heed for those who people to believe. And those that never we went, of course, He did a lot of visiting, and he was working in the morning with a number of Bibles, and he attended the old school. He knocked at the door, and of course you would hear a voice saying, "P.N.S., that is who is there." And you say, "Hand me across, that is the people of peace." And of course they open the door a little, and they ask, "Take the area, that is, what do you want?" And of course they couldn't, and you'll ask them how they're doing, and how the family is, and all the rest of it, and get into conversation with them, and then introduce, of course, the Word of God. And they say, "You must say there, that is, I cannot read." And of course they come and say, "That is, I have no money to buy your book." And then of course, when they see that there's people who are interested, who have a desire to read the Word of God, well, we have given a gift of a portion of the Word of God. It may be a gospel according to John, or it may be a New Testament. And so, God has blessed His Word. Ah, dear brethren and sisters, it has to do things as the right God would have us to do them. And this is the good seed of the Word of God. The result is that we have had the joy of seeing many, many assemblies, 92 assemblies, gathered to the Lord's precious name. Now, here is a new assembly that we had the joy of seeing planted, Marie. Oh, I feel you'll be interested to hear that we used to go out there in the last bus in the evening, that was around 7 o'clock. And if I desired to return, we'd have to walk back. I was about 11 and 12 kilometres out to Marie. And so we preached in Brother's house known as Pablo Lopez. And dear Pablo and his dear wife very kindly let us have our house to preach the gospel in. And then another couple came known as Cruz Barriers. He also gave us the use, his wife gave us the use of her little home. And Cruz wasn't saved at that particular time. But preaching the gospel, Brother Joe Turkington and I went out on our bicycles from time to time, and sometimes in the bus. Sometimes we'd walk home at night, and of course we had to be very, very careful of the snakes. I did a burn poisonous snakes down there, the mountain alley, and some people I may have known were bitten, and of course in a matter of 20 minutes or half an hour they'd be gone into eternity. Oh, it's an awful thing to get bitten by a snake, a poisonous snake. Well, God preserved us and has preserved again and again as we look back. Well, God has graciously preserved us and protected us from those poisonous animals. Well, we had the joy of seeing a few precious souls make them sail. But it wasn't without great opposition. Oh, I remember so well, indeed, there was an Italian man, and he and his wife and family were most fanatical. And of course it stirred up the people against us. But still, God helped us. And we preached the gospel night after night. At last, of course, some so-called missionaries, Roman Catholic missionaries, came from Spain, and they had good processions, carrying through the little village there, life-sized image of the Virgin. And I was going out in the bus one evening, and they stopped the bus, and of course, why, someone told him that they were particularly sitting there on the bus, and all eyes were turned on me. Everybody took off their hat, of course, in reverence of the Virgin. I continued with my hat on. I considered I wouldn't have a good conscience and taken off my hat. And so God helped us. And that night, of course, they came along to the house, waiting for the heretic for the human harm. But God delivered us from those evil workers and continued to work with us. And we had the joy of seeing a number of men and women and young people saved by the grace of God. Oh, we'll not forget those stormy days. And the work continued, and a number of dear boys and girls, with very, very little in them, and very little on them too, I might say, would come along to the children's meetings, and it was a joy to teach them well-known verses of the Word of God. And also to sing the choruses, coming along, see him as Christ to Jesus, and his lover, daddy, the window of lilies. So I offer number to Nostalgia, solo Jesus Christ to Nostalgia. You're not permitted to sing solos here, I permit the term to sing it, but however, that's just by the way. Well, I remember so well, God helped us too, and the boys and girls learned the verses, and come forth continue to work. Well, at last I remember Sarah. And we thought the leader coming for. And so we could exercise and we were able to be in the ground. And also not only the site for the hall, but also to buy 500 blocks, cement blocks. And the Christians say, well, I can give 2 or 3 bags of cement, and I can give 2 or 3 days free labor. And so together we set out to work, and dear brothers, the dear sisters kept us up in Tesco's and soft drinks, cool drinks. And so the work went forward, and a hall was built, just about a few months, maybe a little less in this hall, and probably just as broad, but it had to be enlarged, and it's say just 3 years ago, and that's how the work commenced there. And then the assembly was formed. The assembly was formed. And that assembly has grown through that today. There are around 6 days in fellowship in the assembly there. And God has raised the beloved brethren. Samuel Diaz is one of them. Demas Rodriguez is another. And another brother called Mojica. And those dear brethren, the love of the word of God. I had a fervent desire to reach out to the villages and all day, a little go along. And the work goes forward, and so dear brethren, it's well worthwhile. God has blessed them, and they have a conference down there too, at early in February of every year. And it's really good to see how God has blessed them that way. Just in February of this year, he was 21, were baptized, and gathered to the Lord's precious name in that little assembly. So that God continues to work, just as God said, preaching the gospel simply, and making the way, even if it's completely with the sinner. God has wrought mightily, and precious souls have been saved. Sometimes we get souls saved, and their lives are not very, very much affected by sin. Why, they have started very well, and they have been lawfully married. And then you find that because of troubles of one kind and another, as sinners, they separate. And then, of course, sometimes they take up with someone else. And there they are. And then sometimes, later they hear the gospel. And they commit such a number, like that. Well, what was to be done? It's the best of the faith now. And it's nice when you hear them. Yes, I'm a believer. I have believed in the Lord Jesus. Dear, happy to hear that. But it gives us more joy to see them manifesting in England. Such as in another place where we saw an assembly planted outside San Felipe in a place called La Bonte. A man of 71 summers professed to be saved. Oh dear, hadn't he a history? He lived well with 2 sisters and raised a large family with 37 sons and daughters. Aye, that was to the man. Well, there's Don Benito. He wouldn't do it anyway. He's a Christian, all right. He's saved. And he did. After he trusted Christ, he used to meet together in a little mud house and be before the gospel meeting. And it was a joy to hear that old man indeed tell simply what he thought of it and speaking to God what he thought of his. Thanking God for sending a servant along with the gospel. Well, anybody got saved, we were preaching the gospel, and in the second week of the meeting, he got up, look here, Sir Salvo, and then I wanted to say, well, of course, we're going to read it, and the Spanish is kind of that one, that is in Tasset, that is at the time of the Sudan from the meeting. And of course, after the meeting, in the course of conversation, he told us only trusted Christ during me. See? Aye, as he did, dear brethren, he lived long enough for the proof that he had really accepted the Lord Jesus. And then, when the meetings came to a close, having others had trusted Christ, I wondered just what do we do now? He came along to us one day and said, you care for more Medina in order. You care rather than Medina. That is a desire to arrange my life. And what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to build the room, my sons and daughters, And see how many of them desire to be recognized as legitimate sons in law. Oh, some chase them from about the place, and others, well, they're angry with them for having left the religion of his fathers, and, well, what more? Some are really desired to be recognized. And so the night came, and the hall that was nearest to was really packed with men and women. Just to see a Christian wedding. So the authorities came along the journey, and the secondary led the act, and all was passed, and announced as husband and wife. What a reception I had. That dear man, he got to 2 or 3 fowl, and they gave it to a sister, he gave him to a sister, he made a big pot of soup, and oh, they had a nice time together, the real good fellowship. But dear Don Benito has gone forward. He has given us joy. He was baptized, gathered to the Lord's blessed name, and one of the women who had she also professed to be saved at that particular time. And she was baptized, and it has given us joy to see how the work of God has gone forward in that particular place, I should say. But after some time, the devil, he gave us a lot to think of it. Because God's working to your brother, and you know, you look out that the devil sooner or later he'll attack. He'll give you something to pray about. And of course, well, sin entered the little assembly. And you could see things very somehow very much. Well, things were very heavy. A heavy atmosphere. If there's anything paralyzes the work of God or assembly for the sake of sin. That's why we should hate sin, be careful of sin. Oh, we should at all times, in all circumstances, avoid sin. And we found out now, there's sin in the camp. Well, sin was found out, it was judged according to the word of God, things were set right, and there was a humbling before God. Did God let us down? No, God, in his kindness, after a couple of years, God came in, and manifested his presence. God manifested his presence. And I'm happy to say that that place I experienced, well, just a little revival. God was pleased to come in. And a few brethren visited the others and the homes of the people. We have had 2 series of meetings since that took place. And we have had the joy of seeing. As the soul greets them, say, I think of a dear woman who was almost able, and she pressed her Christ. Think of another man, and indeed, dear Stephen, and he trusted Christ. And they, younger people, trusted Christ. And so, dear brethren and sisters, the assembly have been built up again. And it has given us joy to see the fervent desire of those dear brethren, both amongst the young and the old, to reach out. And to reach out and to neighbors and to see them reach themselves. Now, we have a large conference in San Felipe, too, about the responsible for it this year, in the month of early November. It's a conference for Elder Dillon, Elder Dillon and Dillon who would be exercised to help God's people who are invited from the 92 assemblies. But the public, and we are responsible, of course, to cater for them, to look after them, and it has given us joy to see them come together and let us know how things are going in the farther country from where they come from. And we generally meet together on a Thursday, and it's really nice to meet our brethren and sisters. Not the sisters generally are to come along with you, do for the help and the work. But the villain come from those parts, and we generally meet together on a Thursday night, time of prayer, half an hour's prayer, and also minister the word of God by two of our villain. And then next morning, 7 o'clock, 7 to 8, Bible reading, and then from 8 to 9, breakfast, and you might say, what do you have for breakfast? Well, again, you must get accustomed to the food that they serve down there. They generally make a kind of bread that's made of Indian corn, bruised corn, and the poor say, it's made in a hot plate, there's no yeast in it, and it's a heavy line of things, and I say, if you haven't a good stomach, well, you wouldn't just appreciate it. But it's a great thing to have a good stomach, whenever you go to a tropical country, and a little no smell in your nose too, not a good sense of smell. That's a real benefit, indeed, whenever you go down there. Because they don't bury their dead down there, dead monkeys and dead cats and dogs and all the rest of it. They're just gone out and left out there, out of town or away from the home. It doesn't deserve to be there. But however, and of course bananas and then they generally give serve a good bit of porridge to all who come. And there was nothing like a porridge then. Bananas and then of course black coffee, yes, and still good coffee. I'm sure a lot of you would appreciate the coffee that comes from them as well. And so, they generally have something for dinner. A brother, especially in Aroa, and then in San Felipe, we have a brother who has his kettle. And of course, he generally gives us a beast for the service for 3 days, a good animal, supplies us with meat during the 3 days of the conference. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can thank God for the fellowship that exists. But nevertheless, I would say that the devil again and again has tried to upset things down there, just the same as in the home country. But we thank God for the fellowship that exists. Down there, and we have got our senior member down there, the preacher is Mr. Singer, Sidney Singer. He's in his 93rd year, so far as I know. Still very active, as long as he can, considering his age. I had a little friend about 6 weeks ago telling me that he had been engaged in gospel meetings with some of his grandsons there in the state of Cohabitis, that was down here in near St. Carlos. That's where the family Kirkham can live. And then there's Mr. and Mrs. Fairfield, who returned to Ireland about 6 weeks ago also. And he wasn't too well, Mr. Fairfield. And I'm happy to say that just before we left the country, Ireland, that's almost 2 weeks ago, we saw quite a change in him from the time he arrived. And so he seems to be coming on pretty good. It'll not surprise us to see him return to them as well. And then we have got our brother Bruce coming, Bruce and Loder, down there in labour in the state of Falcon, which is north of the Yarrowit. And also our brother John Smith and Elizabeth, they make their home in a little town of Grotta in the state of Larrick, the state of Larrick. And then we have got our brother our brother Wormsley, and he and his wife, of course, have lived there and lived for the Lord around part of the day of here, and also they have taken quite an interest in the eastern part of Enniskillie in a place called Los Altos de Cumaná. And then you have our brother Ewell Usher and his wife and 6 children, and they live in Maracay, or Palo Negro I should say, in the state of Aragua. And they we have also our brother Noel McCone and his wife and 3 girls. And they live in eastern parts near to the city of Barcelona in a place called Los Altos. And we have also our brother Neil Compton, Neil and his wife, and 2 sons. They have labored a lot in the Andes, Los Andes. And together we can thank God for the fellowship that exists, along with 12 Venezuelan women who give all their time for the work of the Lord. Now those dear brethren are really gifted, quite a number of them are really gifted, have outstanding gifts as teachers of the gospel, and can open the word of God. And really, they have given us much joy to see just what God is wrought, saving our souls as dark Roman Catholics, from the raw material saving them, and then how God has taught them, the Holy Spirit of God has taught them, how to develop gifts, and can teach the gospel and minister the word of God very, very acceptably. We desire that we pray for us, dear brothers and sisters, in the land of Venezuela. We are on our way back to that country. And there's one thing we would really earnestly desire, is the prayers of the Lord's people. So we trust in what we have told you. We haven't told you very, very much compared to the greatness of the country. We haven't spoken about the printing press. There are 2 printing presses, and the gospel is sent forth freely, and they thank God for what has been wrought through the printed page. And then there's a home for the aged too. And two sisters called, Miss McDonald from Nova Scotia, and Miss Ruth Thompson from the States, Maine. They are in charge of the home for the aged. So they can remember the different aspects of it. Now shall we pray, please. Our blessed God, we give thee thanks to the Lord Jesus, that blessed one who went forth weeping, bearing precious seed. To think of his strong fangs and fear, O God. To think of his agony in the garden. To think of how he was willing to go all the way. From the track he turned not back. To where we lay in want and shame. He loved us, blessed be his name. To thank you for saving grace as a result of his death, burial, and glorious resurrection. Here we are saved. Had we to realize that we have been bought at a price from our own. As then our God, to give of our very best to thee, to spend and to spend for thee, much to be done, much land to be possessed. We ask thee to bless every brother and every sister by thy presence here. And O God, enable us to serve thee more and more acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And to win souls for Christ even in his homeland. Bless every family, remember our dear ones, and that they may be gathered in and saved. Before it is forever too late. Thus we would commend ourselves to thy loving care, and that the Lord will us now as we separate the one from the other. In the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, we'll bring our meeting to a close by singing a couple of verses of a well-known hymn here in Jesus, almost at the end of the book, 464. Ye servants of God, your master proclaim, and public abroad his wonderful name, the name all victorious of Jesus its God, his kingdom is glorious and rules over all. Then let us adore verse number 4 and give him his right. All glory and power, all wisdom and might, all honor and blessing, the kings of the world, and thanks never ceasing, and infinite love. I will sing verses 1 and 4 and then we'll meet you for a minute. Thank you for coming.